Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I'm Tower, and today is the 30th day of May, 2019. Our scripture reading for this week is found in Numbers chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 20, Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 22, and also chapter 3, verse 24. The New Testament portion is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through chapter 12, verse 59. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio by going to facebook.com/watchmanis216, instagram.com/warnradio, twitter.com/warnradio, twitter.com/watchmanis216, and on linkedin.com/in/watchman. You can listen to our shows from warn-usa.com and also danaglennsmith.com. And Warn Radio is now on Blog Talk. It's Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio. And other links you can find us at are Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes 1 and iTunes 2, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Warn Radio on Acast, show videos on Facebook, and Google Play Music. Take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman, and they will be on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, unless it is specified otherwise. Your enemy makes war. Struggle of generations as an enemy makes war. Included in Your Enemy Makes War are 7 scriptural points to consider and to study. This article brings to the front war. It speaks of enemies and of Christ. Make no doubt, in any war there is a victor. In this one, we know already we have overcome. Excuse me. Also, redemptive light shines. Darkness doesn't comprehend this. The redemptive light shines in this world. We know darkness cannot comprehend it. The light of Jesus Christ gives life. That life is eternal. It is amazing. Countries like China fear Christianity. Muslim nations also fight Christianity. The power of Christianity is in the people, but not of the people. God's power for Christians connects to the cross of Calvary. And now I invite the watchman to join us, but first, here is a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's good to be here.
Well,
it
is.
Another Thursday night.
And, you know, it actually is warm, and it was sunny, and we saw the blue sky. So,
that's been amazing.
Oh, I'll tell you. It's been one unreal spring, and we're going to be in June, and we have had loads of snow and tons of rain. We've had flood watches. We've had you know, tornadoes various places, but
yeah, they have like, oh, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
I just said that they had like 500 tornadoes in the Midwest section. That's what I've heard, and they're flooding back there. The farmers are in trouble, so we really need to pray for them. It's very concerning.
You know, the thing of it is, you know, we've had, bouts of 500 tornadoes before, but with everything together. I mean, we've had lots and lots of snow in the spring. And the last 3 days or 4 days, we've had nothing but rain. Haven't seen this, you know, it's all been cloudy and raining for 3 days. And for Wyoming, we're semi-arid. That's just unreal. I don't know how much we wound up getting, but we got a pile of rain around here. And so at any rate, as far as on the news is still full of schizoids. And you can pretty much think that all the liberal CNN, NBC, you know, CBS and all the others, you know, CNN, I think, is one of the most schizoid of all of them. And of course, more stuff is coming out about some of the players in this and how they had tried to, you know, overthrow Trump. And then even now, you know, with Mueller was always an enemy of Trump. The whole situation of this particular thing just stinks. The way Mueller did everything and the way he closed it out, and that's what a lot of the stuff is doing. So there's calls for impeachment. There's always been calls for impeachment, so they think they have an excuse now. You know, but the bottom line of it is, you know, in most court of law, you're innocent till proven guilty, but in the press and with the liberals and Hollywood, Trump is guilty. Just like Cher, who came out today and said she wanted Trump to be raped in prison. She wanted him to go to prison. And, you know, things like that. You know, I have no use for people like that. Absolutely none.
It's horrible to act like that and say those things. Good Lord.
People today are wicked, they're stubborn, they're proud, and most of them are just flat fools for the way they talk, the way they act, and the way they think that God does not exist on their behalf. Well, he does exist on their behalf because he's going to hold them accountable for every idle word they have spoken. And also every virulent, hateful, disgusting thing they've done and words they've spoken. So God will judge, and he will judge fairly. And you better watch out when you open your mouth like Cher did, because what you're setting in motion is a reaping and sowing. You should never speak things out loud that you yourself wouldn't want to happen to you. In other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And when you begin talking like Cher and doing like a lot of these liberal, Hollywood types and singers and all the stuff do, you know, it just shows your color. And so, Pat Buchanan came out with an article today. I sent that to you. And he was talking about how all the people are overthrowing the liberal agendas around the world in a lot of cases. And,
I read part of that.
You know, the thing of it is that it's going to be, you know, when you look at the whole situation. Now, of course, one other word before I say that, and that is Biden was leading the pack of presidential candidates I seen today. He had 30-some percent. The others were behind. Yeah. But, you know, the bottom line of it is, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows where we're going to go? And if you get the Democrats in the presidency, if you have the Democrats take the House, if you have the Democrats take the, you know, if they get all three branches of government, then by the time they're done, they will have totally screwed up this place, because they plan on doing away with a lot of stuff to make it easy for them to get elected all the time. And
yeah.
So
that is underhanded and wicked and cheating and evil.
So at any rate, I'm trying to get back over to where I needed to be. Somehow it switched me. It's amazing what happens when you're doing this. Well, at any rate, tonight we are going to be in Isaiah. And
yeah,
we will be talking
about... Oh, go ahead. Excuse me.
Part 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've been really digging into Isaiah. I've enjoyed it.
Me too.
You know, and on Friday nights we're doing kind of a theme on Christian escaping and getting through the persecution. Calling attention to that. This week we didn't have a prophecy news or a advocacy program for the persecuted church. We'll do that next week because of Memorial Day and everything. There was some other circumstances in there. We just put it off until next week. But you know, the bottom line of it is, you know, has it been a month since the Sia Bibi's been out of prison now?
Oh, I think so. Probably a good month.
Well, you know,
maybe
I'll
more
bet.
Time goes by.
You know, I can't imagine, you know, being in prison for 9 years like that, facing the death penalty, thinking you're going to die, and now being totally free in another country. And safe and with your family. Now that is got to be something good. And so that's really when we're talking about the persecuted church. You know, we're talking about people, real people, real lives that are at stake. And when you see what's happening in America, it brings it home that we are not far from what is happening around the world. Because you have people in this country. Did you hear about the guy that lit himself on fire outside the White House?
No.
Yeah, he lit himself on fire and he died. It was over the weekend, I guess. I don't know who he was, but...
Good grief. What was his deal?
I didn't read the story. You know, he's just another character that comes along in this live action play that we're in that's real life. And you have, you know, people making choices every day. And he made the wrong choice. And that's sad.
Yes, he did. It is tragic.
There's nothing you can do about it now. It doesn't matter what his name is. It matters the decision that he made. You know, and it could be more than likely at the White House, it was politically motivated. It's because of certain policies and things. And, you know, of course, the liberals, the hatred and the division that, you know, we are going through now is just absolutely one of a kind. And so for me, I don't spend a lot of time on news. I used to go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles, headlines. We covered a lot of the news. I stopped doing it a number of years ago when the Lord had spoke to my heart about it. It was some time before people really started, a long time before the fake news thing. I got out of it and did strictly the teachings and stuff like that. We've been doing this for years now. And so the important thing of it is that we have to focus on the Lord and not focus on the news. I don't focus on news. I have some news I discuss, but the bottom line of it is you have a choice in your life, and you had better choose the right path, because right now it's all heading towards judgment. And in this country, you have people that hate so much, killing other Americans would be easy for them.
Yep.
And most of your Democrats want to take away all the guns and everything like that. But in every country that I have seen reported on around the world, in just about every country there was, excuse me, the people have already been disarmed, like in Libya and Iraq, Afghanistan. They had armed groups running around, but most of the individual, you know, people around the world, a lot of them, you get into Pakistan, you get into India, they don't have, most of the poor don't have any kind of weapons, nothing. And so it's easy for the bad guy to kill him. And if America ever succeeds in taking away the guns, reducing our rights, and turning this into a globalist socialist society, you're going to see a genocide on a level that is going to be unbelievable. And this is why a lot of people who do have guns and who do go hunting, and they're fishermen and things like that, there will be a war before you'll get their guns. And so none of this looks good. Absolutely none of it. None of it looks good. And
well, did you see that North Korea executed four or five people?
No,
for,
I didn't.
yeah, it was horrible. I think he was afraid of them taking over or something. He executed one man that was like a counterpart to Pompeo. Is that how you say him? His name, Senator or Secretary, our Secretary of State.
Yeah, in other words,
he was a senior official.
High people around him, you mean?
Yeah.
People of authority. Yeah, he's done that before. He's killed his own family.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that it would be nice if Trump could have got him straightened out, but it's going to take more than personality to straighten this guy out.
He was charged with spying for the United States. That's why he was executed, and there was four other people. I don't know who they were. This Kim Jong Chol was the one. He was put in the forced labor camp and then interrogated and then executed.
Well, see, the problem with that scenario is they will always get a confession. Always.
Yeah.
Because they know how. It's not a matter of if you'll break. It's just a matter of time.
Kim Jong-un's sister is laying low, too.
Well, you know, the whole thing of this.
She was involved in that with him.
Yeah, I'll tell you. The whole thing is just North Korea. Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do about it.
I know.
It's hard to believe such a wicked regime continues. But at any rate, I'm going to have to get going on this.
So tonight, it's my well-beloved Isaiah's prophetic book, part 5. my well-beloved and his vineyard on a fruitful hill brought forth wild grapes. The sour grapes of sin and rebellion came forth, but the sweet grapes, the wholesome taste of fruitful righteousness, came not forth. Thus the Lord of the vineyard had done all to bring it forth in sweet righteousness. And now back to you.
Well, you know, when I read this in Isaiah, I think of the bride of Christ. And under the New Testament, there is a bride of Christ made up of, it's not male, female, Jew, or Gentile. It are all those who are found in Christ. And he is the vine, and we are the branches. In the Old Testament, Israel was seen as the vine. But the bottom line of it is under the new covenant, it has been fulfilled. And so today we look at this, and we are in chapter 5, and verse 1, now will I sing to my beloved, well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard, typical vineyard, a garden, you know, that thing usually where grapes will grow and things like that, and a very fruitful hill. In the Hebrew, it's a prominent mountain peak, which projects like a horn, and it's open to the sun on all sides. And of course, this mountain horn is Ben Shim, a child of fatness. And of course, Shim is means name. When we use Shim in the form of the name of the Lord, a child of fatness, it was innate and belongs to it by nature, denoting the fertility of the soil. So in the Hebrew, this denotes a very well-placed, fruitful hill that has been totally fertilized. It's just absolutely full of richness and water and everything you need. Absolutely everything that you would need. The soil is totally fertile. It's wonderful soil. Everything is just perfect here. And so this is the picture that Isaiah starts with. I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. And of course, the well-beloved has a vineyard. That vineyard was Israel. And the well-beloved, of course, is the Lord. And of course, the name, when we do look at that, it does use Ben Shim, meaning the name, and you can use that number of things. But at any rate, when I look at this, I think of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, 23 through 27. And it denotes, Paul's words denotes the sacrifice and running the race, because we're looking at a vineyard in a fruitful hill that is placed where it's in the sun all the time. It has all kinds of the minerals and all the attributes you need for one of the best gardens or vineyards you could ever have. It's been taken care of. It's been the soil is loamy and moist and mineral rich and everything else. It's perfect soil for growing. And the Lord had done everything to make that soil the best. And of course, the whole idea is the fruits of the vineyard. Now, when we look at it from the New Testament, as the Lord speaks, you know, in John 15, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And the Father is the husbandman, going by and pruning the branches and stuff like this. The whole idea of this is bringing forth fruit and being fruitful. See, because he's talking of my beloved, it has a vineyard and a very fruitful hill, a very fruitful hill. And see, the fruitful hill means that the vineyard itself was in a place that was nourished, so naturally it would bring forth sweet grapes. Now, see, this is what happened. Something else happened. And we will get to that in a minute. But let's look at Paul, verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He's talking about if you have two kinds of races. You know, most people, when they're competing in a biathlon or a marathon or something, it's to win the crown, win the prize, whatever it is. But you and I strive for something that is incorruptible, that which this world can't touch. And Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. In other words, useless, not getting anywhere. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, see, this is important. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, see, for all of those people out there, especially in America, which has the gospel of carnality associated with it, pastors who say, well, it's okay to be thus and thus. You can do those things and still be a Christian. No, you can't. The gospel outlines your conduct. Paul outlines the fruit of the spirit and the fruit of the flesh. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, you'll find both fruits. And if you are sowing to the flesh, you're going to flesh reap corruption. Now, you can call yourself a Christian all day long, but if you are doing the things of the flesh, you're fleshly. You're not in the spirit. And this is where the Lord would prune to get more fruit. This is where in that pruning, certain things come your way to make you prepared for the kingdom of God. Now, you see, this is really the issue in America, especially, and the West. Now, see, if you're a Christian, in a lot of the places that we report about the persecuted church, really, to be honest with you, they don't have time to associate themselves with all the carnal deeds of the flesh because they're trying to stay alive and try to stay from getting beat up, killed, you know, their families persecuted, their houses taken, their churches burnt or attacked, their wives raped, their daughters raped, and things like this. This stuff goes on all the time. And so, you know, it is very, very true. You know, when the fire of persecution comes this way, you're not really interested in sitting there and committing adultery all day long and drinking wine all day long and all the rest of it. You're concerned about your life. And this is true that when this persecution, comes, it's also true that behind the persecution, judgment must first begin at the house of God. And then, you know, if we are persecuted thus and have judgment thus, where will the sinners and the ungodly stand? Well, they will face the judgment of God. And so this is where the world is headed. This is where America's headed. And this is why people should not be foolish enough to shoot off their fat mouth to tweet and do everything else. And I've read more stuff in the last 2 weeks concerning Twitter and everything else. And there was a headline today again. This is the second time I've seen a related headlines to this. And that is that Twitter actually dumbs down kids. Well, the entire section of what we call being online, the social media dumbs people down, including adults. And they act like they have no sense, and they don't. And so we're in a very precarious arena here. And so when we're talking about the problems that Isaiah and the children of Israel had, you know, that's one thing. But they didn't have all the reasons. Now, look at us today. We have knowledge. But Paul warned about knowledge you know, you're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we have a lot of knowledge. We have a lot of learning, but we can't learn the truth because you can't know the truth through human means. You can't know it through human and worldly technologies and worldly science. You can only come to know this God because, well, first of all, he's spiritually discerned. So it's through the Spirit of God is he revealed. And so this is a big problem that the world has as they careen on their way to Judgment Day. And so this is a point here. Now, we've got churches here in America that's been here in a very fruitful hill. America's been very fruitful. And you would think that the churches would be absolutely on fire, totally fertile, and in touch with God. But in fact, I mean, we can go back 20-some years when I was dealing with some native pastors in India. A number of them have passed away by now, but the bottom line of it is that they were praying for persecution to come to America because while they thought that the church in America was probably one of the most spiritual and holy and righteous churches on the face of this earth because of all the missionaries and the gospel that came out, in fact, it was the opposite. And one of the native pastors said the faith in America is several miles wide and only a few inches deep. There's no root to it. And so we do have a problem. And it's the same thing here as Isaiah's talked to the children of Israel. And he goes through all of this using this scenario of the vineyard and the ground. And being a gardener, being one that harvests, and both Tower and I, you know, we have put up stuff, canned and dehydrated and prepared, and we know how to do it by the grace of God, and we know how to grow it. And we know that if you're going to get something good out of the ground, you got to put good seeds in the ground, and also you got to have a good ground to put it in. It has to be a loamy soil. It has to be free of rocks. It has to be free of clay. It has to have good mulch. It has to have a lot of things in it, including minerals and vitamins and calcium and other things. And so Isaiah in 5:2 said, and he fenced it. Well, why would you fence anything? Well, you fence it to keep out all those things you don't want in it. Now, here in Wyoming, if you're up in the mountains and you have a garden, you better have a very, very tall fence. And if you are planting a field of corn, you're not going to put a high fence around it because you got to get in there and you're going to have to harvest it. And you have a big harvester and you take care of it with big equipment and you get the corn. But see, in between the time you grow it and you're able to harvest it, guess who goes in there? The animals, the deer, and the raccoons will get in there and the squirrels will get in there. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to eat your corn. Now, they won't eat all of it, but if you have a lot of deer, they will get in there and they will eat it. And so you fence it to keep out those things. And so when he brought the children of Israel out, how did he fence them in? He gave them the covenant at Sinai. He said, this is what you need to do. When he gave them the land, he warned them, do not do what the people in the nations are doing. Do not serve their gods. In the Ten Commandments, you'll have no other gods before me. Guess what? They ignored all of it. Now, see, Christian, you can't just do what you want. Because this God is a holy God. And I can tell you, in America, we've been fenced in. And we've lived in a country to where, we did have a lot of churches. We did have revivals. And we did follow the Lord. We did have to go to war, and we did win the wars. But today, America has fallen away, and we are in fact filthy. Yet God had fenced us in and gave us his blessing, and we had the word, we had preachers that preached, we had preachers that warned, we had prophets that warned, and most people just ignored it. So God fenced in Israel. He fenced in this vineyard. He wants to keep everything out. He gathered out all the stones thereof. Have you ever tried digging up your garden with stones all over the place? Well, in our garden, we had a lot of roots. And I had to dig up a few roots. And I'll tell you, it's a chore if you've ever had to dig roots. But you have to get them out. Nothing is going to grow. Because you got to work the ground. Now, see, my granddaddy was a farmer. My other granddaddy was a cattle rancher in California. My family knows what it's like to dig in the dirt, to have a field, to have the fruits of your labor. And in order to have the fruits of your labor, you got to take care of it. And there's certain laws that apply. If you're going to grow carrots, you better get a carrot seed. And you better put it in the ground, because keeping it in the package isn't going to work, is it? So God had to plant Israel. He had to sow Israel. He had to fence it, dig it, and work it. And he brought them into the land. And during the time of David, David defeated all the enemies of Israel. And by the time that David really wanted to bring, you know, a place for God to rest, the Lord said, well, you have too much blood on your hands. It'll go to your son. So it fell to Solomon to build the temple, and that was when Israel was at its greatest. But even during that, after that, because of Solomon falling away from the Lord, God divided Israel into two, the southern tribes of Judah and the northern tribes, what we call Israel or the lost tribes. But see, you have to dig it. You got to prepare it. And it says, and he built a tower in the midst of it and made a wine press therein. Why would you make a wine press? Because it's a vineyard. It's called faith. Well, I'm building vines, and in order to process wine, I want a wine press. And I want to build a tower so I can put stuff on, but also so I can look over it and make sure there's nobody entering in. And he did everything that he could do. And it says, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, which the word grape there is a ripe grape. Go figure, ripe grape. Yeah, yeah. Why would you want sour grapes? You don't want sour grapes. And it says that it brought forth wild grapes. Well, in the Hebrew, it means poison berries. I mean, you grabbed the wrong seeds. You grabbed the wrong vines. You know, we got all kinds of vines around here in Wyoming, all kinds of various bushes. And we got bushes that have fruit on them. We have a whole bunch of raspberry bushes. Last year, I think we gathered, I don't know, close to a couple of gallons of raspberries, which is a lot. And then we got another one over here that has nice ripe red berries, but you can't eat them. They're no good. And we got other stuff with berries that you better not eat it, because it can cause you trouble. So, Lord, while you did all that, someone put in the wrong vine. No, I didn't. No, those were vines. That was the vine that I picked. It was the choicest vine. It was Israel. But yet, why did they come forth with poison berries? Why is the fruit wild? Why is it no good? See, that's the question here about the vineyard. And that's what Isaiah is saying to Israel, because he's talking about judgment. God did everything for you. And you should have brought forth righteousness. And God is saying, what happened? And it goes down, it says, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah. This was, a patriarchal society. And you had the elders. They would gather at the gate, and that's where the business was done and the commerce was taken care of. You had a king, you had the prophet, all men, pretty much. But he's speaking to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, because that's where the judgment's coming. Jerusalem, that which God, another word for it, for the future, is Zion, the place where God wanted to put his presence and his holy temple, where he wanted to reside with his people. A place where he would have his priests and his prophets, and anybody in the world could go to him and find out what thus saith the Lord is. But these people didn't know the Lord. Now, there were some there that did. And God raised up prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and others. So he's calling everybody together. He says, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. Judge between me, the Lord your God, and you, my people, who is my vineyard. And he says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Now, that's the second time he's mentioned that. What could have been done? Well, you could have taken them back to Sinai again, Lord. You should have had it rain more. No, that's not the answer. God had already set them up in the finest place with the choicest ground and hill in full sun. That means full blessing all the time. Yet they sought other gods. So he says in verse 5, and now go to. In other words, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I will tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. Now, if you don't know what a hedge is, when you're praying and you're serving God and you're walking in his ways, like it says in John 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. So you've got that fellowship, and you've got that you're walking in the light as he is in the light. And when that happens, there's the hedge, there's protection that surrounds you. Blessings that surround you. But even the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Because he wants to make sure his people make it. Because while we are a people of God, and of course we think we're perfect and we're going to make it all the time, there comes a time when you understand that you're not perfect. And so you go to the Lord and you confess your sins and you recommit yourself and you go forward. Now, there are people that I've met that and I've known that seem to be almost perfect in their walk. But nobody is without sin. But there is a place that God expects us to walk. But see, within that, there is a hedge, though, in our life. There is a certain thing. Even when I argued with the Lord many, 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 many years ago, for over a period of years, there was a hedge around us. We were raising a family. We was able to raise a family. We had problems. But then the Lord allowed me to go a certain reaching me when I was arguing with the Lord over some issues. I never did disown knowing the Lord. I was raised Methodist. I knew about Jesus when I was a little stub of a boy. But you see, the issues are that God is going to work in your life. And he's working now in Israel's life through Isaiah. And he's going to take away the hedge of blessing. And it says, and it shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it'll be trodden down. He's going to turn the soil, tear down all the protective things that you put around your vineyard, because when you do wine or grapevines and stuff, there's a certain way you have to put the vines up. There's a certain way you have to trim them, and there's a certain way you have to have the soil. He's going to do away with all that because he did everything he could, and it brought forth wild grapes. So now he's going to have to start all over, so he's going to trot it down. God has blessed America. We sent out more missionaries from this country than I think any other nation on earth. We've had more Christian seminaries, more Christian colleges, more Christian radio and television stations, more preachers, teachers, and prophets and apostles for the gospel than any other nation on earth. Yet we've fallen. So what is the Lord going to do? He's going to judge it. He's going to tear it down, tear down the hedge. He's going to break down the wall. He's going to redig. He's going to refertilize. He's going to reseed. Well, to put it bluntly, you're not going to like it unless you really know him. And, of course, this same process would happen in other countries. Now, the big question here is, when you're talking of places like North Korea, this guy's totally evil. And the Christians, this is the number one place for Christian persecution on the face of the earth. Why doesn't God do something now? He's sovereign. When you get before him, you can ask him. But see, even, you know, when we talk about prophets, Habakkuk asked the Lord that, because he wanted God to do something about the unrighteousness that was surrounding him. And you can read this in the first chapter of Habakkuk. Habakkuk wanted to know why the Lord caused him to go through all this. It was a mess there. He didn't want it like that. And the Lord, to kind of paraphrase it, the Lord said, I'll show you what I'm going to do, Habakkuk. I'm going to bring in a nation that is meaner, nastier, and they are warriors. And they're going to come through the land and destroy and rape and pillage everything here. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remove everything. Well, Lord, why would you use someone more wicked than us to judge us? And then you get into chapter 2 of that, and it says, the just shall live by faith. And then the Lord says, but the wicked, their soul is not right in them. He's going to remove the wicked. He's going to preserve the righteous. And then he's going to judge the nation that he uses. Now, see, I'm not the governor of the nation, and neither are you, but the Lord is the governor of the nation. He will do whatever he wants to the nations, just like the Democrats want to do something to Trump. They hate him so much. I mean, go figure. It doesn't make much sense. I mean, here's a guy that wants to make your country better, and you hate his guts. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. And everything they accuse him of, the poor guy, you know, he's guilty in their eyes. He doesn't have a chance for a fair trial. You know, that's the kind of leadership we have. You have good and bad. And, of course, the good and bad really depends on who you are. If you're liberal, the bad, of course, is Trump, and you hate their guts. You hate his guts. And if you're on the other side, even a conservative Christian or something, you might think things are looking pretty good. If you're a minority, you have one of the best economies in probably your lifetime. But that doesn't matter. But see, this is the way things are in this country. It's screwed up. Now, see, Psalms 34:16-22 says this. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keeps all of his bones, and not one of them is broken. Now that's prophecy concerning Christ, which came true. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Bingo, that's America. Evil shall slay the wicked. Now, of course, evil today is slaying some of the righteous, but the righteous will live anyway. But see, they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. That applies even to America. And so at what point does a nation realize that with all their money and all their fame and fortune, that all those things they do on social media and other things, and how disgusting they can be and wicked they can be and evil, and society in general is evil, many people, so self-prepossessed, so full of pride and selfishness. That's going to come to an end. See, because it's about the righteous and the wicked. Beep, this is a test. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now, see, that's a Davidic psalm. It's really a good psalm, and in the church, One of the top verses we remember in the Christian church in America, especially at Brother Kennedy's church so many years ago, where many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. But see, understand, evil is going to slay the wicked. Now, this is in the context of judgment. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Well, I can tell you one thing. In Obama's administration, there was no Christian prayer warriors and no Christians at the head of it like that, like we see today. They had prayer studies going on and everything else. Of course, I'm not saying he's a saint, but I mean, you could just look at it and see it. I mean, we covered the Obama administration. But see, Obama appealed to the public and to Hollywood. He spoke their language. But in the long run, America, just like Israel, and the other nations will stand before God judge. So as we go through what Isaiah is talking to Israel, remember, God's going to talk to your nation too. He will deal with the nations. He is not afraid of the nations. He's not afraid of your apostolization, your apostolizing, postulate, you know, stand up and speak proudly and say, I'm going to bring him down. See, Satan's been doing that for a long time. Satan knows his end. He's going to die. And he's going to be burnt in the lake of fire forever. He will never get out of it. And he'll never find relief his whole life. There is no redeeming. He is a liar and a father of liars, and the Lord has triumphed over him, and the Lord is the victor. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's coming again, and he will judge the nations. He will bring the wicked down. So while wickedness may rejoice for a season, the bottom line of it is all the righteous that the wicked kill now will be redeemed forever. They will never be found desolate. Lesson to the nations. Wake up. Lesson to the people. Be careful. Get into the Lord. Get into the Word and stay there. Isaiah 5:6, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I'll also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Now see, that's what happens. He had hedged it after he got it planted, and he had planted it in the best spot, and it had everything it needed to grow and be perfect. But it brought forth poison. America used to be fruitful, used to be respected. We used to have civility one for another. And of course, there are those wicked today that say America was never that good. And that's usually because they hate America so much they would never admit that America was anything in the first place. And everybody wants to be recompensed, from the Indians to the blacks and to the Mexicans and to the immigrants and everybody you could think of. Everybody has a right today. Everybody has a say-so. Everybody has feelings, and it's all America's fault. Obama spent most of the time in other nations apologizing for America, and Biden was right there with him. Biden still denigrates white people, and he's white himself, but I guess he hasn't looked in the mirror. But see, this is what this is about. It's about sin. It's about wickedness. It's about being caught up in your nation and being wicked, being evil, not giving the other guy a little chance, because you don't know what mercy is. You don't give mercy, and if you don't give mercy, you ain't going to get mercy. Well, see, the danger here is that when you get to verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 5, there's not much left after that. He's going to lay it waste. It's not going to be pruned. Now remember the vine and the branches. Okay, and I happen to have that right here. Now listen. Now see, in Isaiah 5:6, I will lay it waste and it shall not be pruned. That is the first part of that verse. This is what the Lord says in John 15. This is the new covenant. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The branch that does not bear fruit is going to be gone. The branch that bears fruit, it's going to be purged, it's going to be pruned, so it may bring forth more fruit. He says, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me as I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. We have to be found in Christ. John, 1 John 1. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we must be found in him. We must abide in him. We must walk in the light as him. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now see, the contrary to that, or the opposite, is if a man, verse 6, abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather thorns, gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples. That's a disciple bearing much fruit, abiding in Christ, doing what is pleasing to the Lord. Isaiah 5:6, I will lay it waste and it shall not be pruned. You won't even get to the pruning part. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They're destroyed totally. They're gone. And Isaiah 5:6 is talking about the same thing to Israel in the older covenant. We're in the new covenant. We're in the age where we don't think God judges anything. And see, this is the problem we have today. Well, God ain't going to judge us. We're in the new covenant. And, of course, we have a bunch of churches in America that preach that. Go ahead, believe in Christ, and do what you want. See, Israel thought they could do anything they want to. Yeah, and they gave drink offerings. They did some of the same offerings they gave Jehovah God. They get it. You know, you had Baal. You had Asherah. You had the Queen of Heaven. They passed their children through the fire. Well, let's see. What are we going to do today? Well, I thought I'd pass a few of the boys and girls through fire. In other words, you burn them, sacrifice them. Well, that sounds like fun. You got any priests handy to do it? Yeah, we happen to have the prophet over here and a priest. They literally did second duty. Oh, and of course, they'd always go back into the temple. And of course, Isaiah, we'll get to that eventually. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is these. They loved that temple. They went in there and did their thing and went out and continued to do the other. Now, how much idolatry do you think God is going to put up with his church in America? How much idolatry? How far are you sold out to the buck? How far are you sold out to that? Now, we all know that you need some money to live on, but it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Nowhere does it say to seek first the almighty dollar or the almighty yen or the almighty whatever there is, or gold or silver or your car or whatever it is. See, there is a righteousness factor with Israel, and that was part of the fruit. And there's a righteousness factor for us. Now, yes, when we accept the Lord, he is our righteousness. But then God expects us to walk in that and do that which is pleasing in his eyes. Now, Isaiah 5:7 finally gets down to brass tacks. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. He looked for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry. Now, see, this is a patriarchal society, so you can't go blaming the woman. Now, you see, even in the garden, Eve was deceived, but Adam went along willingly. And when God confronted him, he said, "It's the woman you gave me." "It's the woman, Lord." "Yeah, it's their fault." Well, in the children of Israel that Isaiah's talking to, they can't say, "Well, it's my wife sitting at home." They can't say that. It's a patriarchal society. The men did the running. It's not like the wives couldn't say nothing, but yeah, the Lord is going to hold them accountable. That's just like in the Christian family, the man of the family is the priest of the family, not the woman. The Christian men in their Christian families need to lead the spiritual nature of their household. So Isaiah's calling them out. And, you know, it really, if you were the men at this time, it really, you know, wouldn't go well, because in 5:6, the first few words are, "And I will lay it waste." Well, who's the vineyard? The house of Israel and the men of Judah. The men of Judah and the house of Israel are going to be laid waste. What do you think of that? Well, if you're one of the men of Judah at this time, and Isaiah's telling you that ain't going to make you feel very good, so you're not going to like this guy. You're going to want to get rid of this prophet, which Israel did do a lot. When the Lord wept over Jerusalem and cried, "How oft would I have gathered you as a mother hen does her chicks, but you would have none of it." But before that, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets." And he talks about the blood of all those who have died would come upon that generation, and it did. Because when the Roman general Titus attacked Jerusalem, 1 million Jews, it is estimated, Josephus discusses this, died. Lord said, "Your house is left unto you desolate." Isaiah is saying to them at that time, your house, your vineyard is going to be desolate. Jeremiah preached for a long time telling them that Judah would be desolate. Then God brought them back after 70 years of judgment. Because in all judgment, the goal is mercy. Isaiah 5:8, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." Now this signifies a working business type society. And once they start building, they wanted every piece of property they could get their hands on, and they did what it took to get the property. Remember Ahab and Jezebel? He wanted a vineyard. The vineyard owner, it was really nice, didn't want to sell it. So Jezebel figured out a way to get him killed. And so the king took it. You know, some of the biggest genocides we've had on this earth has been at the hands of the government, killing their own people. Why is North Korea so bad? Because there's a family that's been in power for generations and nobody will stop them. They have endless blood on their hands. They have curses on their heads, including Kim Jong-un. For his soul's sake, the best thing he could do is totally repent and confess to God at this moment turn everything around overnight. And even if he was killed, God could have mercy on him. But there's a lot of blood. He has a lot of blood on his hands. And the chances of him truly repenting, personally, I think are zero. But see, the problem you had in Israel at the time, greed. They wanted to have all that land. Well, even today, you know, around here, all the best properties, you going up to Jackson Hole area, the rich, unless you've been there for a long time, all your places on earth, the rich and their money have everything. And then they fence it. And they enjoy all their private forests and all their castles and everything they've built. That's greed. Now, the one thing about America, it was made to where you could buy a little property and you could get ahead and you could have your dream. But today, many of the socialists that are in the Democratic Party want to change all that. But see, just like we have greed today, Isaiah is talking to the vineyard Israel there, and they have greed too. Well, you know, the year of Jubilee was a time when people, that Hebrews that had gotten into debt and other things, were to be released from slavery. And matter of fact, Jeremiah even warned them that they had to release Hebrew slaves and had to forgive the debt and whatever the problem was, but they wouldn't do it. Micah made the same complaint, even as Isaiah does here in Micah 2:2. That's according to Kyle and Delish. But greed works real well for a temporary time. Isaiah 5:9, in my ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. That's rich and not so rich and poor. Why are they going to be desolate? Because there's not going to be anybody there. God is destroying. He's sending in a destroyer. He's sending in an army. There's not going to be anybody around. What happened to my vineyard? There's no vines. Nobody's left. They sinned against the Lord. What's the use of a garden if it ain't going to bring forth fruit? Might as well plow it under and put cement in. I don't have the world's greatest garden, but I can guarantee you we get stuff out of it. If I didn't, I'd just throw grass on it and forget it. See, what's the use of planting if you're not going to get anything out of it? Oh, I want flowers. Well, flowers are fine. But even if you planted edible flowers, after a while, you might get sick of them. I mean, you need things that can give you some meat, some things that'll give you sustenance. You need something that can nurture your body and help build it up. I mean, if you can't get a garden or a vineyard that's going to produce, why have it? If you built a garden and it didn't do anything, maybe you'll have to look at how you built it. But see, God had did everything. And I got news for you. He did everything for the Christians today. And even Paul addresses this. See, we're in the new covenant today, and in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, if you sinned against that, that was it. You're in trouble. And Paul says, how much more so shall those be who count this blood of the covenant unworthy? They trample it into dust. They count it as nothing. There's going to be a great curse upon them and a great judgment on their head. In my ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. You're not going to have much growing because the vineyard itself. God is judging the vineyard, and also the land is cursed too. So you're not going to have much growing. Because I guarantee you the spiritual condition of a people reflects the spiritual condition of the nation itself and its ability to make it. In other words, your sins will bring forth curses in the land. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue till night, until wine inflame them. Well, you know, they were greedy. They were consumed with obtaining land and other things and getting rich, and they didn't care what it took. They didn't care who they had to persecute, prosecute, kill, murder, beat up, or threaten in order to get the land. Well, though, they could drink and party. And the more they drank, the more they covered up that conscience. The conscience became seared with a drunkard stupor. And for a temporary time, as they were drunk, they forgot about their evil deeds and they were able to live with themselves. And so this is a curse. And it says, and the harp and the viol, the tabouret, pipe, and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. And you would look at him and you'd think everything's fine because they were dancing, they were drinking, they were partying, they had all kinds of songs going on and everything else. Oh, yeah, you'd think this is really a good place to be, but they did not regard the work of the Lord. And time had been called. They didn't repent. God said, I've had enough of it. And he's saying the same thing to America. I have hedged you up for generations. And I've ignored your sins. But now they have overcome the throne of God. And I have beheld them. And you considered not the work of your hands. And I will judge you now. I will remove the hedge. And where there was a blessing, there shall be a curse because of your sins. No, not in America. Oh, yeah. When's it going to happen? That's not for me. I don't live that way. I serve the Lord. I look to him. Just like Trump being there. There's the sovereignty of God at work here. And I can talk about that at another time, but I can tell you. If you think God's blessings are on this land to keep it forever, you're crazier than a loon. And anybody that says this nation is in revival is nuts. That includes the pastors, preachers, apostles, and so-called prophets. They're wrong. This nation is filthy, as are the nations, and God will judge them all. So when we look at Isaiah, when we consider all of which is going on, We can see what happened to Isaiah. And we can consider. But shall we consider? At all. America? Or some other nation? Shall we consider that the Lord is in charge? Well, you see, all of these writings are for an example to us. So we're going to leave off there. And we will start up in Isaiah 5:13 next week. When I see the prophets, I see a roadmap. May God help you to see the truth. And while I talk about America a lot, make no mistake. God will hold every nation accountable. He will hold every government accountable. He will hold every person accountable. Your God that you serve today, if it's not our God and our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed as judge, if you do not know him, you need to know him and receive him and follow him. John 1, John 3, John 10, John 15, Romans 3 through 7, 1 John 1, 1 John 5, and Revelation 22. And if you know him, then you need to start resting in his promises. And know that the things around us are going to be bothersome and vexation of spirit and troubling. But you can find peace in Christ and hope in him, and you can believe for deliverance. In all of this, may we come to understand what the true paramount issue is here. God is coming for a people that are his, that are born again, blood washed in the blood of the Lamb, that have covenant with him, that walks in his ways. He is not coming for an unfruitful field. He is not coming for poison grapes. He does not want the taste of sour grapes. He wants righteousness. Father, we thank you for this day and for your word. Bless your people. Help them to understand, Lord. Keep them and their families safe. Direct their steps. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Tower. Don't forget Friday night, tomorrow night. We'll have another broadcast tomorrow. Actually, I try to put that out a little early for the weekend. So you can find them. It'll be on all of our things, on our websites and all the various things. If you're wondering where to find us all, you can find us. You can find all the links to all the places we're at on the front of our websites. Did you make it?
Nope, I guess not. Now I am. Yeah, so our websites are warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. You know, Dana, I see the I there and I can see America.
Yeah.
I can see, and people that don't see it, don't want to see it because they don't want to know the truth of the Lord. They don't want to change their lives. I think it's tragic.
Yeah, it is. Well, at any rate, you know, we're on chapter 5. We've got a pile of chapters left.
Yeah,
and,
we do. But
there's a lot of good prophetic chapters ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say it's disturbing the complacency in America. I think even in our in my own life sometimes.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you're in a society that's relatively peaceful and you have full bellies and you never had judgment of any kind, really. Prosperity is nice to live in, but it can send you to hell real quickly.
Yeah.
Because you get comfortable in your flesh, and your flesh wants to be comfortable. I don't know anybody that wants pain in the flesh all the time, you know. But we are living in that time of shaking.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, well, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Pray for your leaders. Pray for America. Pray for your country. We pray for you, and we love you, and we thank you for all you do. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.
Shalom, everybody. We'll see you next time. This is The Watchman.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.